Tonight, I'd like for us to once again look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word tonight? I want to remind you this evening that this is part 6 of a Family Matters series. We've been looking at the home. We've been looking at the ins and outs of the family. We're going to continue to do so. With myself being out for several weeks, this pushed our series back, and that's quite all right. We're just going to take it one day at a time, and even a little bit shorten services. We're going to get through it, and I just want you to continue to pray for me and this series. We've been looking at not just the Family Matters series, but we're looking at the family portrait, the family portrait. And in this family portrait, remember, we're getting a behind-the-scenes look. So often we come into church and we live in a TikTok, Instagram, Facebook world where we see everybody's best. We see what everybody posts. Nobody posts bad days. No, everybody uses filters. Ladies, you look beautiful all the time. Guys, you look handsome all the time. We jump on it and we do. We show our very best. And everybody looks at that. Oh, we compare our worst with everybody else's best. It's the world that we live in. Don't try to fight it. It's part of the reality that you and I are in. And so we want to get behind the scenes look at the portrait that hangs on the wall. It's not that we just come in and, wow, it's a beautiful family, it's a beautiful picture, but there was a lot, ladies, you know this, that went into that picture. Getting people ready, having the weather just right, getting the outfits to match, taking a kid out and talking to them, and then coming back, and then they're crying, and then it looks awful, and then their eyes are red. And for a little while, what we just want to concentrate on is, remember, we see everybody's best, but how do we get there? What took place behind the scenes to get that picture? And what is it in our families that you and I can learn and grow and strive to be better in? Well, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter number 6. We've just come away from Genesis chapter number 2. And now let's dig into this a little bit more. Deuteronomy 6. I'm going to read several verses. We won't be able to get through all of this tonight, but we will be there. Deuteronomy 6, verse number 1 says this. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. Verse number 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou, and thy son, and thy son's sons, and all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised in the land that floweth with milk and honey. O hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt, listen very carefully, teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be a frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. This evening I want to once again, we just got through for health reasons last week, just kind of the intro, and tonight I want us to concentrate on today's challenges. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, bless our time in your word. Shaver, there's no doubt there's a lot of needs in here this evening. Father, I want us to think about it for a moment. What do we need? You know us better than anyone. God, we think we know everybody else. Savior, we want to point out who should have been here tonight. And boy, I wish somebody could have gotten this. And boy, I wish, you know, God, just help us to put those thoughts aside for a moment. And just in this simple moment, Father, what would you have for me? I ask, Savior, this evening that you would lead and that you would guide and that you would direct and bless this service. We love you, Savior. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, understand this evening, and we saw last week, while children may be able to pull common sense from common experiences, they do not learn spiritual truths without a teacher. Remember, we saw last week that there are things in our life that you and I learn and that we grow from. There are things in a kid's life that they are going to learn and grow. They jump on a bicycle that does not have training wheels, and they lean a little bit too far to the left. They are going to fall, and they learn from that experience. Without me saying, now, Rose, Nora, you can't lean too far to the left. You have to pull it back. Those are my twins, and those girls, but they learn from those common experiences. Okay, if I lean too far this way, I'm going to fall down, and so they're going to balance themselves. They're not going to, as I said last week, they put something sharp or metal, God forbid, into an outlet. Guess what? They're going to learn that hurts and it sparks the moment I get mad because the electricity goes out and they got to get an electrician. True story. And so what takes place? They learn from those experiences. But understand, when it comes to spiritual truth, you and I have to teach our children. They have to be guided in it. Now, I said last week, and I want to say it again once again this week, we live in a increasingly God-rejecting culture. Across our society, across our land, across the culture that you and I live in, including education, including entertainment, including every form of media, there are people who are eager to influence the hearts and the minds of children with ungodly philosophy and belief systems. So how can parents, how can grandparents, how can future parents, including the listed teenagers, don't think, well, I'm excluded from this tonight because it's talking about raising kids. No, understand, how do all of us as a congregation, how do we fight this culture? How do we fight these philosophies? How do you and I stand in a day where it seems to be so dark? Well, the answer is not very complicated, but it is going to take a very personal investment from you and I. It's going to take you and I teaching our kids truth. Now, I don't want to pause here because we've got a lot to cover, but last week I said it this way. There are many parents, whether single parents or grandparents, that think that it is the responsibility or the church's job to teach their children biblical truth. Now listen, don't tune out. Whoa, pastor teaching heresy here. No, watch now. While being involved in the local church is the necessity for a Christ-honoring family, God did not entrust the church with the spiritual guidance for our children. He entrusted parents. If you're with me tonight, say amen. You and I, listen now, have been given instructions. That's why Paul said it this way. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Here in Deuteronomy, we find the hearts of Israel, Israel's instruction to the next generation. It did not begin at school. Now listen very carefully. I'm thankful for Cross Point Christian School. I'm thankful for everything that's taken place. I love the lives that are impacted. But let's just comprehend, and I'm just going to help us out tonight. Our job here is to not raise your children. Somebody help me out. As a teacher, I'm just telling you, I pay you, you ought to be able to. No, look, we're going to have Christian principles, and we're going to teach your kids ABCs and 1, 2, 3s, and we're going to teach science and health. But comprehend, this is not a daycare. We drop kids off, and then that one day they're going to be the next Charles Spurgeon. That is still, God has placed that in the lives of parents or step-parents or grandparents, whoever is raising that teenager. Or that young child, that's been given to us. Look at verse number 7 here in this passage of Scripture. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in, check out the two words, thine house. Our goal is to teach. Now, I'm moving a little bit quick, and if I have to sit down again tonight, just for lungs reason, you just give me a break this evening, but just watch. This is so good. I cannot stop tonight. I'm just going to keep going. So listen, our goal is to teach children truth. Now, somebody help me out. Is it not our goal to teach kids truth? Amen. We're not here to teach kids lies. We want to teach them truth. Now, listen, watch. Not just for outward or temporary compliance, but for a heart level change. I am not interested in having a church And we are Baptists through and through. But I am not interested in having a church that is just going to raise a bunch of robots from the outside. I am not interested in having a college and career class or a youth class or the other many classes, Pastor Dan, that we have here at this church just for everybody to be in compliance of yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, walk the line, toe the line. And on the outside, it looks like this really incredible Christian. But on the inside, they are, as the Bible says, dead man's bones. We ought to be interested in raising a next generation that has a heart for God. We must raise kids. Now listen, don't lose me. Raise our kids to walk in the Spirit. Now here's the bottom line. Many are raising kids to not see the world as it is, but their focus becomes their reality. Now follow me. Many are raising kids not to see the world as it is, but their reality, listen now, their focus becomes their reality. You see, this is human nature. This is on the inside of every person in here tonight. It's like this. If you are full of insecurity, you're going to find something or someone to insult. If you're full of confidence, you're going to find something to compliment. It's human nature. If you're full of fear, you're going to find something to be scared of. If you're full of faith, you will see the silver lining. If you're full of unhealed hurt, you're going to be full of hate. You're going to find something to hate. But listen very carefully. If you are full of the Spirit, you will find love, joy, peace, patience, happiness, self-control. And what you and I ought to be interested in is to teach them to have a real personal relationship with God. Comprehend this. Lois, come up here real carefully. I think, Lois, are you sitting by Aaliyah there? Lois, come up here real quick. I'm saying this is my oldest daughter, Lois, this evening. Lois, I saw you taking notes. Good job. Awesome. This is my oldest daughter. Stand up here for just a second. Lois, understand, as I raise my daughter, my interest and my heart ought to be to raise a daughter. And what I call you what? What's my nickname for you? Little buddy. Yeah, little buddy. That's my, we rehearsed this, didn't we? No, I'm just kidding. We did. Understand that as I'm raising my oldest daughter, Lois, my heart, my soul, everything in me ought to want to desire to raise a young lady that comprehend. Look now, watch. That has something on the inside. That means, Lois, this. She desires to love God on her own. Now, that takes a lot of training and teaching. But my end game, you remember this at the beginning? My end game, Lois, is to raise you to have a love and a desire to love your God. We had a conversation this afternoon, Lois and I did, and it was a real conversation just about Satan and the way that he's attacking, and she got something from camp, and so thankful for our leaders who brought him to camp and a message that spoke to her heart. And you know what it showed me? And to be honest with you, Lois, I didn't tell you this, baby, but honestly, I had a lot going on. We're trying to concentrate on this. I'm trying to get ready. We're trying to head out. And here is my daughter who says, Dad, I got this from a message. And you know what I had to do? I had to listen. Just stopped. That might show in the message a little bit tonight because maybe I didn't get to finish the illustration. But you know what? This is an investment. This is the next generation. Like it, don't like it, call what the next generation you want. These are the future leaders. If you're following me tonight, say amen. Thank you, Lois, so much. Understand, we want to put time in. We want to train them. So how do we do this? Well, first of all, if you're taking notes this evening, I want you to write this down. Number one, passionately teach. Write this down, passionately teach. Have you ever sat under an apathetic teacher or maybe a preacher before that, whether formally or informally, if someone tries to teach or maybe preach something that we really don't sense they believe it themselves, we usually don't believe it either. But looking at Deuteronomy chapter number 6, there's a personal emphasis here that you and I have to passionately teach. And listen now, watch. It's very personal. Now, parents, I want you to tune in. This is for you and I. This is comprehending that what God is trying to show us is that it doesn't start with me teaching Lois. It has to start with me. It's passionate. Look at verse number 5, what it says here. And thou shalt love the Lord. Now watch here. Look at the personal emphasis. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. You see, a personal love for the Lord has to start with you and with me. Yet, look, I know sometimes I start flying through this and I start running out of oxygen, so I'm trying to fly through it. But here's what I want to do. I just want to stop for a moment and I just want to get to the nitty gritty. So just follow me. Parents, grandparents, if you're raising kids or teenagers or college students and or influencing the next generation, that means if you are in your 20s, 30s, 40s, all the way up to 90s, comprehend this. Our children know what you and I are passionate about. We don't have to tell them. My kids know what I am passionate about. Not super passionate about shopping, okay? It's just me. It's just, I don't know. I'll go and I'll help. Yesterday we went in Myers and, was it Myers, Carrie? I can't remember. It was Myers and Michelle Haybing almost hit us with her car as we were backing out. But no, nonetheless, true story. I don't know if Michelle's here tonight. We were both backing out and we about crashed into each other. Her insurance is better, so we figured it out. Anyways, nonetheless, as we went, I'm not super big on school supplies and I'm just not a big shopper. I mean, my kids will tell you that. I have to admit, even at times, I do get a little bit of a bad attitude. And I'll tell Carrie later, I'm so sorry, you know, buy whatever you want under $10. You just go for it. and it's just kind of me. So it's just who I am. But there are things I am very passionate about. Carrie, they're not. And our kids know it. Man, I love sports. I love football. I love college football. I think it's like 38 days away, and my team, which happens to be a pretty good team, is going to be playing. They're going to kick off, and I'm passionate about it. Oh, man, let's do it. I love cars. I like looking at cars. I love going with other people to look at cars and spend their money. Isn't that great? You need this car. Let's get it. Let's buy it. I'm passionate about it. Do you know our kids know what we're passionate about? And there's many that aren't real passionate about church or the things of God. And they had 18, 19, 20, and all of a sudden we begin to realize we lost their heart. They're not real passionate about it. Why? Why is that? What happens? Comprehend this. It's because our kids have watched for many years as we have gotten into a car after a service. And pastor preached too long, or the deacon said this, or my kids didn't get this, or they were said this, or I wasn't chosen on a Sunday morning. Now, none of this has come up at Crossway Baptist Church. Don't think, oh, pastor's really getting them tonight. I guess he's back in the pulpit. No. I mean, this is not stuff that I've heard over the last week, okay? I'm just preaching this evening that I have seen over and over again, even as a millennial, those that were of my generation that were brought up, and they went to camp, and they went to they were in patch club and they were a part of and all of a sudden they get to this age. It's like, hey, why don't you want anything to do with God? Why don't you want anything to do with church? And I'll tell you why. Because our kids saw that we were passionate about everything else. The boat, the fishing trip, the hunting, the Michael Kors, the Kate Spade, the this, the glam, the this, the that. And you know, we didn't have a whole lot of passion when it came to the things of God. Therefore, what God is instructing you and I is that you and I must passionately teach. And if we're going to passionately teach, then it has to be on the inside of you and I. God calls us in this verse to love Him with all of our hearts, souls, and our might. So let's think about this for just a moment. Our heart. What's our heart? If I called on you this evening and I said, okay, what does your heart have to do with it? If God says, I want you to love me with all of your heart, how does that resonate in your mind? How, what do you think about there? Well, comprehend that the heart refers to the inner part, the determination of our will, our conscience. To love the Lord our God with all our heart excludes lukewarm or passive measures. It demands passion and genuine affection for God. If we love God with all of our hearts, our children will be able to see that love displayed on an emotional level in our lives. Therefore, let me put it this way. Do you and I have a real love for God? I don't have to tell my kids, I love God. I love God. Hey, church, Pastor Vo, I love God. I love it. Brother Denny, I love God. Do you know what ought to happen naturally is that when my kids or my friends or my peers, my counselors, when they look at me, it's natural in their thinking, this man has a love for God. Why? Because it's on the inside and it shows outwardly. If you're with me this evening, say amen. Do you know parents, grandparents? Now listen. Our kids ought to see that. We have a love for God. We have a love for singing. We have a love for the orchestra. We have a love and a passion for the preaching. We have a love and a passion for the things of God. But he goes further than that. He says this. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. But look at the word, verse number 5 here. It says, and with all thine soul. What does that mean to you? Think about it. Don't lose me here. Watch. It's this. The soul refers to our life itself. It's our identity, the core of who we are. To love God with all of our soul means to love Him wholly. It means if we're surrendered, then we're going to be surrendered in every area of our life. Now I want you to comprehend. Now listen. This isn't just publicly saying that we love God. This has to be all of our soul. It is not, Gary, can you slip out? Or is it my sleep on you? You're okay? Can you come here real quick? Okay. I put my kids to sleep faster than anybody you know. Put them in bed. Do we not care? Go to sleep. Here's 18 milligrams of melatonin. Go to sleep. They will not go to bed. I start preaching. They're out. Understand. Carrie and I have a relationship. Now, I've used a little bit of this before, so bear with me. But comprehend. Carrie, you and I were raising 5 kids right now, okay? And we're going through and we're going through life. Now, Carrie, you and I can say that we love each other and we will have a heart love for each other. And you, as a congregation, might see that. But isn't it amazing that God's going to take us a little bit deeper here, and it's going to be our soul. You see, Carrie and I have to have more than just the, hey, Carrie, love ya, appreciate ya. There's that little voice. She gives me that often, I'm telling ya. She knows how to get me. Good night. It is deeper than that. Listen now, it's a soul love. It's a her and I that's deeper. And I know, Carrie, that you would die for me and I would die for you. But to comprehend that our kids are watching this. And we can come in here, Care, and we can have our King James Bible in hand. And boy, hey, everybody, how you doing? Oh, it's good. It's good. Love my wife. Oh, I love my wife. But I'm telling you, we can fake you all day long. But yeah, we have 5 kids at home that we cannot fake with. They're watching this. They know. Just as Carrie and I, my wife and I, have a relationship and a soul love for each other, that's what our Abba Father desires of us. It's deeper. It's deeper. Excuse me, it's deeper. It's not just this superficial, everybody, rainbows and butterflies, all the couples at Cross Point Baptist, we're perfect, we're great, 50 years of marriage, woohoo, guess what? Satan is after us, he's after our marriages, he's after our homes, he's after our kids, he's after our teenagers. You and I have to comprehend that he is not going to stop until he destroys our families. We have to have a love that is a soul love. If there was ever a generation that understands fake, I really believe it's the generation that is coming up. Our seniors, excuse me, who just graduated, and also those who are coming up, they know fake. They see it and they know it. We're not interested in religion, friend. We're interested in a relationship. And what our kids need today is to see moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and real men and real women being, excuse me, listen, don't get offended by this, but being real.
Amen.
Real.
Amen.
I'm sick of it. I'm tired of the fake news. I'm tired of the fake this. I'm tired of this person. Everybody mad at each other over the most. I'm telling you, the most silly things. When you and I have men and women around the globe who are getting divorced, who are getting split up, and kids are being hurt, and marriages are crumbling, and we have lost in our Baptist churches a college class across the globe. We're not reaching them. We don't have culture for them. We do not have a community for them. And we sit back, and everything's fine and dandy, and we sing our hymns, and we're all great. And let's get out there and have Brother Tom's cupcakes, and they all live happily ever after. Well, that's the loudest I've gotten in a while. That felt pretty good. I'm just going to tell you. Excuse me. It's got to be soul. It's got to be deep. Our kids see it. And then we get back and we scratch our head. Boy, I don't know, Care. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. We didn't love God with all of our heart and all of our soul. But I want you to look at this. Look what it says here. With all of our might. Might refers to our energy. To love God with our might means to invest ourselves in His service. We don't just say we love Him, but we put elbow grease to that love. We serve and we give and we witness and we pray and we invest our energy in the love of God. Why? Because it's not just us putting our might in everything else. No, it's putting our might in the things of God. Now, listen very carefully. I'm not picking on anybody. If anybody, I'm talking about myself this evening. Now, watch. We put time into what we want to put time into. There's no way. We all get, you ready for this, Miss Rosie? We get 24 hours in a day. Everybody. Brother Phil, you don't get any more? I don't get any more. Everybody gets 24 hours a day. If you're following me, say amen. We don't get any more. Nobody in here is like cheated on and you get 26 hours a day. We all get 24 hours a day. We can accomplish more for our Savior when we love Him with all of our heart and all of our soul, because then it becomes our might. You know, at times we often say, I just wish I had time for more Bible reading. Well, what a shame that is. We have plenty of time for Bible reading. Well, I just wish, oh, Pastor, well, I'm telling you, I miss my calling. Of all those pastors do. Isn't that Pastor Defoe? That's all we do, don't we? I mean, we preach three times a week and hit the golf course the rest of the time. Boy, I'm just telling you, well, that's not how it works, is it? Okay. And I didn't hear that. Nobody said that this last week. I'm just getting back into preaching. It's so fun. But comprehend this. Look, we look at everybody else and, oh, wish I had a Leroy shop. Boy, wish I just sat around and made cupcakes all day, Brother Tom. Look, that's not how it works. We all get the same amount of time. So where's our might going? What's stealing our time? Hey, teenagers, I want you to look up here for just a moment. You get the same amount of time that we get. Young kids, let me talk to you for just a moment. You get the same time that I get. You are the next generation coming up. I'm going to ask you, do you love Him? No, I'm going to ask you, do you love Him? Then where's your time going? Boy, it's amazing how the Bible says, isn't it, Brother Mike? It says Satan's devices. What do we call a phone and an iPad a device today? It's amazing how real that book is and applicable. Do you know how much time we eat up aimlessly scrolling through pictures of people that we really don't even know, we'll probably never see or meet? Or how much time we'll take on a post? How much time we'll spend scrolling through ESPN or Fox News or watching the Olympics, then, oh, at the end of the day, whew, man, oh, you know what? I need to get my Bible. No. We don't serve God to work for our salvation. We serve God because of our salvation. I want to talk to the parents. Now look at me and I'm done. Understand, parents, grandparents, adults,
all of us in here tonight. I cannot teach the next several weeks on raising teenagers and kids. We're going to get into media. We're going to be talking about a lot of in-depth things. I cannot even start to go there until it begins with you and I. And I really believe that this evening, now watch. I really believe that this evening, it has to start with us. Where's our love? Where's our attention? Parents, grandparents, adults, a lot of time and a lot of our effort is spent on a lot of things that really are not going to matter in eternity. And our kids are picking up on that. And they're watching. And if we're going to passionately teach them, it has to start with you and it has to start with me. It has to be you and I loving God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our might. Now let me, I'm done and we're going to go eat. It's going to be great. But listen. Carrie, my wife, I love you, and I mean that. I die for you. I can't imagine life without you. But you know, my first love has to be Jesus. Has to be. If my wife is gone tomorrow, God forbid, my first love is Jesus. Why? Because he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's always there. He's lifting you and I up. He is there in the good times and the bad. When we stray, excuse me, friend, we stray from him. He's not up here yelling at us, get out of the muck, get out of there. No. He's getting down there in the muck of life with us, and he's picking us up, and he's carrying us, and he loves us. Comprehend that God that loves you and I desires our love with all of our heart, with all of our soul. And then it's going to show through the might, our time, our talents, our treasures. It's going to be, listen now, not all about, listen teenager, it's not all about a soccer field or a volleyball court or a free throw shot or how many gold medals we won. Eventually you and I, when we come to that love, are going to comprehend it is all about him. So parents tonight, adults this evening, what if for just a couple of moments, what if we just met right up here in an old-fashioned altar and just cried out, God, let me love you with all of my heart, soul, and might, everything that's in me. God, I love you. Every teenager in here this evening, look up here for just a moment. What if for just a moment you slipped out? Oh, I can't do that. That's not me. What if for a moment you just show God, I don't care what everybody else thinks. I want to love you with all of my heart and all my soul. God, let it show in this season, this semester. God, let me love you. Or maybe just say, God, it's me. I love you.